So today's very interesting Torah portion, and I believe I will not say anything new. But as always, Bible is so important for us. Everything in there is so important. So please open with me Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we will read from that place of scripture. So before we read, I would like to ask you, how y'all doing? Okay. Good. Okay, it's good. I hope all of you are doing great. And I hope you will be doing great after my message. Today my message has two completely different and sometimes opposing topics, but they often go together in the Bible. So I would like to speak about two different subjects, but in the end we'll see unity between them. So the first subject, the importance of our choice. The importance of our choice. And the second subject, looks like it's opposite, but it's very, they're going together. Our God is the God of a second chance. Our God is the God of second chance. How important it is for us to have wisdom and be very careful in our decisions. How many times we would like to go back in years ago and do something different? If you are not this person, you're a lucky person. Really lucky. Because this message, it's about me. Often we can hear that our God is the God of a second chance. And this is absolutely the case. Yes, He is the God of a second chance. He is ready to forgive and cover our sins, ready to heal our lives and save us from the consequences of our lack of wisdom and from wrong decisions. He is ready to reconcile us with Him. He's always ready. He's loving God. But very often, a light attitude towards the Lord, a casual approach towards the Bible, a superficial faith in our daily life can result in very hard consequences. The consequences that are the fruits of our wrong decisions and our wrong actions. And this is not the God's fault, and it's not somebody else's fault. It's the lack of wisdom, lack of obedience to the Lord, lack of humbleness in our life. It's often this is the case. And sometimes it's most of the case. But I would like to remind us, the Lord is the Lord of second chance. He's ready to reconcile us. He's ready to heal us. He's ready to raise us. He is such a Lord, such a merciful Lord. Let's look at one of the most obvious examples in the Bible. Probably if you want to find any of this example, you'll find it in today's Torah portion. One of the most obvious examples of this in the scriptures. This is very, very difficult story, which many people misunderstand. And sometimes the God is angry for them because they don't know the real story of the Bible. I would like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's open with me Deuteronomy chapter 32. I believe you already did so. So from the verse 48, and please, remember, this is the last chapters of Deuteronomy. This is the last days, last hours of Moses' life. This is the end of his life. End of his life. The most important moments of his life. On that very day, from verse 48, Deuteronomy 32 from verse 48. On that very day, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, go up this mountain to the Avarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, facing Jericho, and see the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Bnei Israel as a possession. On the mountain that you are ascending, there you will be gathered to your people. As Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you both broke faith with me among Bnei Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of Bnei Israel. And verse 52. And please remember, this is the last hours of Moses' life. For you will see the land from afar, but you will not enter there into the land that I'm giving to Bnei Israel. I believe it's very difficult words. It's really difficult words. It's not something joyful for Moses. Moses, who was faithful to the Lord in all things. If you remember how the Lord called him, do you remember this moment? Who was there? Yeah, we had an experience. Basically, he was saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. It's not my business. I dealt with Israel. It's enough for me. For 40 years, I'm suffering because they rejected me. I don't want to go back. But the Lord told him, you will go. I send you. Go now. He was faithful in everything. So, once committed a sin because he showed anger before the nation of Israel at a very bad time. And he was forbid to go to the promised land. And because of this mistake, he did not enter the promised land. Can you imagine? Please, carefully. For 40 years of labor, humility, trials, and now to see everything crash and burn. 40 years of his life. And it was, believe me, the most difficult 40 years of his life. All his desire, all that Moses dreamed about was to bring his people into the promised land. From the day his mother placed him into that little boat in the river, it was the reason of his life. He was called to do that. The purpose and meaning of his very being. But he made a wrong choice. He responded flippantly to the commission from the Lord. And as a consequence, everything has now collapsed and he cannot fulfill his lifelong dream. Is it in the Bible? We are so quiet here. Maybe I'm making the story. So read for yourself. You know, sometimes people has the memory from Shabbat school, like for childhood or Sunday school, and you know, there is everything so fun, so good, so cool, good God, good Moses, everything so. But this is true and harsh story. But this is the second part of my message. In the same time, if we look ahead, hundreds of years ahead, we discover that the Lord, by His grace, gave him a second chance. Moses, much later, did have the opportunity to walk in the land of Israel in much more glory, in much more glory. And he had the privilege to meet the Messiah there and to bring him comfort into the special mountain. And I want to prove it in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke 9:28. About 8 days after these teachings, Yeshua took Peter, John, and Jacob with him and went up to the mountain to pray. And verse 29. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing flashed like white lightning. And behold, two men were talking to him, Moses and Elijah. Our God, he's a God of a second chance. He restored Moses. He gave him opportunity to fulfill his dreams, even more than he even dreamed. He had opportunity to meet with Messiah again at a special place in the heart of Israel. But in the same time, when I read the story of Moses, with all my heart I wish for him that he might have led the people across the Jordan. My opinion, I believe it was an original plan for Moses. The Lord promised him many times, but he was not able to do that. So I would like to refresh whole story. Let's read whole story. And let's open Numbers verse 20, chapter 20, verse 2 and 13. Almost all chapter, but stay with me. So again, many stories in the Torah starts like that. Now there was no water for the community. Something going wrong. Problems. No meat, no water. Too cold. Too hot. Too dry. Too humid. Too cold. Or something else, I don't know. No hot water, too much hot water, you know these problems. Car is not working or something, you know. Our problems are much, much more and biggest problem in the world. So, now there was no water for the community, so they're assembled against Moses and Aaron, and again. Who is guilty? Who is plumber? Moses. Why is no water? Moses. Why is no meat? Moses. Moses, 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 Moses. So he was famous. So verse 3, the people quarreled with Moses saying, if only we had died when our brothers died before Adonai. I mean, what a dream. If only we had died. Can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to lead these people. 2 million people who wish to die. But it's not true. They want to die. They want to have everything now, today. Or we will die or give us water now. Okay, let's go. If only we had died when our brothers died before Adonai. And you know this story. I will go back. What's happened right before this situation. One chapter before, we will see what's the reason for them to say this. Now, why have you brought the community of Adonai into this wilderness? And I like this. So they are counting themselves as the community of Adonai here. You know, a few chapters before they were like, oh, who is Adonai? Or now we are community of Adonai. What's going on with us? For us and our livestock to die here, why have you brought us from Egypt to bring us to this evil place, a place without grain, fig, grape wine, or pomegranate? What does it mean? Okay, something tasty, yeah? And there's no water to drink. So, we had everything. They forgot about, Egypt, about work, about killing their babies, about everything. Only about food. Good memory. So, Moses and Aaron went from before the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of Adonai appeared to them. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and gather the assembly, you and your brother Aaron, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give out its water. Remember, speak. You will bring out water from the rock, and you will give the community something to drink, along with their livestock. So Moses took the staff from before the presence of Adonai, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock. He said, "Listen now, you rebels." Do you see here? "Listen now, you rebels. Must we bring you water from the rock?" It's almost the same, but in the different spirit. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and its livestock drank. But Adonai said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me, so as to esteem me as holy in the eyes of Bnei Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land that I have given to them. These are the waters of Meribah, where Bnei Israel contended with Moses, and where Adonai showed himself holy among them." So, to refresh our memory, this story happened right after the Great Rebellion. Right after the Great Rebellion by Korah. Right after, next day. And that is why Moses became so angry at them. Can you imagine? It just happened. And in the morning, the same situation. All of them gathered against him. But the Bible explains itself. So let's for our understanding, what's happened there, let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look in the Bible to understand what really happened there during the time of Torah, time of Moses. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. And four. And I believe we can have all the answers in the scriptures, even on the very difficult places there. Here's the scriptures, and here's the answer for us. "They all were immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And you know that Moses was representative of Yeshua. He was a picture of Yeshua, of coming Messiah. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was. Who is following me here? Messiah. Let's say it together. Messiah. The rock was Messiah. Now you can understand what's happened there, why it was so important for Moses to be very accurate and obedient to the Lord. Drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them. The rock is Yeshua. And one of the names of the Lord in the scriptures is the rock of our salvation. Today we had song, Rock of Our Salvation. What an important and prophetic picture here. In this place, the people of Israel were weary and thirsty, They were in a difficult condition, wounded and rebelling against the Lord. Again and again, the same situation. And the Lord brought them to the rock of their salvation, to the place of mercy, to the feet of Yeshua. It was not a small fountain. It was a river of living water. And now to quench the thirst of millions of people. It was not a drop of water. It was rivers of water. And remember, the Holy Spirit, He is living water for our souls. Enough for every one of us here. So what they drink there? Water, but prophetically. prophetically, it was a river of living water coming out of rock of salvation. The prophetic picture of the Holy Spirit and Yeshua in His mercy. So this rock was to become a place of mercy, not of anger. Not of anger. The Lord doesn't want to punish people anymore. He wants to give mercy to them. The Lord wanted to show mercy to His people despite all that had happened, despite their rebellion and unfaithfulness. The Lord valued mercy even above justice. And this is a true case for every one of us. I'm not sure, I know for myself for sure, I'm not deserve His mercy. You know, and I'm confident in it. It gives me freedom. My heart full of thankfulness for His mercy. If you're trying to gain His mercy and gain the right position before the Lord, good luck, it's a difficult job. And I can tell you, you're wrong. You're really wrong. And you're going in the wrong direction. This is wrong direction. This is wrong way to go. He wanted to fulfill their thirst and heal their wounds. It was His intention to heal them, to restore them, to give them water. The Lord had told Moses to speak to the Lord before their eyes. The Lord wished the people to witness His mercy. So now I would like to repeat the same thing. It was the time of testimony. It was the prophetic moment for all Israel to speak about coming Messiah, about coming Holy Spirit, about mercy of the Lord. Instead, Moses shouted angry at the people, called them rebels, and then struck the rock in his anger. It was not God's anger. And not once, but twice. This is important to remember. Now remember the words of the people at the cross of Yeshua. Let's go to the moment of Yeshua's crucifixion. In Matthew 27, verse 41 and 43, it's really a most similar situation here. Very common. Likewise, the ruling Kahanim, Matthew 27, 41 and 43. Likewise, the ruling Kahanim, along with the Torah scholars and elders, were also mocking Him. You know, the same situation. Where's the water? Where's the meat? What's going on? Who you are? Who do you think you are? He saved others, they were saying, but He can't save Himself. He is the King of Israel. Let Him come down now from the stake and we'll believe in Him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue Him now if He wants Him. For He said, I'm Son of God. Basically, they told Him, this is the Lord punished you here. He is judging you here. Come down from the cross. Manifest your power and we will believe. Show yourself as the Son of God. But you know what's happened there? People did not understand that what they were witnessing on Golgotha that afternoon was not God's anger towards Yeshua, but God's mercy towards them. It was not wrath, it was mercy to them. That hill on that day was not the place of God's wrath, but the place of God's mercy. Rock of our salvation, who is giving us living waters through the Holy Spirit. Moses revealed anger, but Yeshua, our Messiah, revealed mercy. He was faithful, completely faithful. In Yeshua, God forgave our sins and does not hold crimes against us anymore. What a great picture and consolation for us. Even despite our failures and sins, despite the defeats due to our disobedience and sin, our Heavenly Father, as in the case of the prodigal son, is ready to show his mercy to all of us. It's a beautiful picture. So what Moses did actually do that was so bad? Why the Lord was angry at him? The problem was not only that Moses did not follow the Lord's instruction, not only that, but that he disobeyed before the people, before all the nation of Israel. He showed disobedience. He misrepresented the Lord to all people of Israel. Because of his anger and desperation, he mispresented the Lord, showing God's anger when it was the Lord's desire that the people be witness to his mercy. But what did the Lord tell Moses? You broke faith with me among Bnei Israel. Can you imagine? You did not treat me as holy in the midst of Bnei Israel. Broke faith, did not show my holiness. The people witnessed an unfair reflection of the God's character through Moses' anger, through Moses' disobedience. And I don't judge him. You know why? Because I'm even worse than him. I speak for myself. Many times when we think about God's holiness, we think about his judgments. Judge him, judge Egypt, judge that and that. But he wants to reveal his holiness in his mercy, through his mercy. This is his part of his holiness. He is holy because he's merciful. He decided to be merciful. A show of the Lord's mercy would have been a revelation of the prophetic picture of Messiah. But Moses, in his anger, made a wrong choice, misleading the people of Israel, presenting to them a picture of God's wrath, a picture of judgment and punishment instead of grace and forgiveness. And moreover, I would like to tell you something. We must understand that Moses was so close with the Lord. He had so many gifts and so much responsibility that this mistake was to have a huge impact on the whole nation of Israel for many generations to come. It was not a simple mistake. It was a big deal. And I would like to give us some easy here. We are not Moses. I know people who thought about themselves, they're Moseses, or I know some Jesuses. Oy vavoy, what to say? It's hard to minister to such people. They're so high, so knowledgeable. We are not Moses, but I would like to remind us today that we have only one life, and we are obligated to live it wisely and according to the will of God. We have only one life. Not two, only one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 and 17. Ephesians 5, 14 and 17. For everything made visible is light. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper. Shabbat shalom. Wake up, O sleeper, raise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. So definitely our part is to wake up, yeah? He will not wake us up. It's our part to prepare ourselves. Bride's supposed to prepare herself. It would be an awful situation when bridegroom comes for his bride and his bride like, oh, come on. I'm taking bath. I'm busy. I'm supposed to work or something. I don't think they would be a good family. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. So pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand that the Lord's will is. I don't know. Who can explain more clearly than in Ephesians? Rabbi Shaul. He is so clear. We must be careful in our choices and understand that every step has a huge impact on our future. Every step. And in order for us to stand before the Lord and hear the most important words in our lives, we need to be wise and carefully spend our time by being faithful and by following the Lord. Even though we can have second chance, but years. By so living, when we reach the river Jordan in our lives, we will be able to cross over the great reward, to the great reward. And those who were witness to our lives will be influenced by good, by the example we leave to their memory. And Matthew 25, verse 21, this is the very important place of scripture in my life personally. Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy." 24 years ago, the Lord called me into the Messianic movement by these words. By these words in the prayer. And I became fully immersed in it because of the promise of that scripture. Well done. Enter into your master's joy. Would be wonderful to hear these words from the Lord. I mean, if you don't live for that goal, something wrong with us. We need to fix our goals. Because this is our goal. To hear these words from Master. Well done. Good servant. Come in. Inherit blessings from me. This is the words. And I would like to conclude by saying that the Lord is the Lord of a second chance. And I would like to give you freedom and hope, because it's not the end. If you made a mistake, it's not the end. The Lord has a way for you. 1 John chapter 1, from verse 8. 1 John 1, 8. And I mean, this is humbling place for us. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's say together, purify us from all unrighteousness. It is in His hand, in His power. He can do that. If you had a bad mistake in your life and lived through consequences of it, the Lord is holy and merciful to forgive and bring a new opportunity, a second chance into your life. Remember it. And you know, when everything tells you you're finished, you're cooked, you're not well done, but you're done. This is not from the Lord. This is not from the Lord. This is enemy. This is enemy. Say no to these words. Say no to these voices. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is something else. Condemnation does not come from the Holy Spirit. Never, never, never. He is always merciful. Until we have breath, until we can see and talk, until we can pray, there's mercy from the Lord. Always. And even if something is too late and impossible to fix in this life, sometimes it's happened to us. We wish, but we can't. Time is over. Maybe in this season, He will bring you in His mercy and glory to the place of your defeat and will help you to be a victorious. As Moses. He was not able to cross the Jordan back then. But after time, he came in glory, right in the middle of Israel, to be with Messiah together. The same as the Lord did with Moses when he brought him to the mountain of Israel to ministry to Yeshua there. Can you imagine? To ministry to the Messiah, to comfort him, to bless him with his presence. What a privilege, what a joy, what a mercy, what a second chance. So I want to pray for all of us today. Trust the Lord. Believe that if you had a mistake in your life, He is able to fix it, to bring healing into your life, and then that you will continue to live out your life as though each day is your last day on this earth. Remember, your choice influences future. So be wise. Stop doing the same mistake. Think about it. And remember, the Lord is merciful. So I would like to pray. And if you're in difficult condition right now, and specifically, I would like to pray for everyone who is under the condemnation. If you're hearing this voice in your head, I'm done, I can do anything, I'm finished, no hope for me. I would like to pray for you specifically. This is not truth. This is not truth. Open your heart, open your mind. Believe, trust in the Lord. Confess your sins. Get out from your wrong position before the Lord. And you can experience joy, faithfulness. You can be minister for the Lord because He loves you so much. So I want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your joy, Lord. Thank you for a new beginning, Lord. Thank you for a second chance. And Lord, thank you so much for your presence, Lord. Lord, help us to be not foolish, but wise. Help us to count our days, not to spend them on something not important, but to leave it for you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for the great gift for us, for your Bible, for your scriptures, Lord. This is the great gift for all of us, Lord. Thank you so much for this gift. And thank you for Yeshua, who is our salvation, our Savior. We thank you, Lord. Amen. And if anybody here or somebody will listen to my message in future, I would like to pray and I would like you to invite you to pray and to invite the Lord in your heart. Because, I don't know, you have opportunity today. I don't know, will you have opportunity tomorrow to invite the Lord in your life, to change your life, to submit yourself before the Lord, to invite Yeshua to be your Lord and your master of your life. I would like to pray. And if you never, 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 never accepted the Lord, this is your moment. This is your time. Pray with me. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, I come into you in the name of Yeshua, and I ask, please, forgive me, Lord. Forgive all my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness, Lord. And be my Lord, and be the Savior of my life. I receive Yeshua as my Messiah, my personal Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. to all of us. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. So let's stand together and let's close our service with our benediction. Okay. So I can go anywhere, yeah? You know, they're surrounded. They surrounded me.
I always enjoy praying this prayer for you, but now as we close up this special season, or as we continue to move through this special season, reflect on, first we have thanked God for creation, giving us the word. We have measured ourselves against this word, asked for forgiveness, given forgiveness where necessary. We have looked at redemption and understand that the great gift of Yeshua's blood and redeeming us and cleaning us and making us acceptable for God. And now in Sukkot, we move all aside. Consider the oneness of our God. And without distraction, realize how much He loves you. So close your eyes and let this prayer wash over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai, Adonai ayay panav alecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. God bless you.
Shabbat shalom. And please don't forget to pick your children. They are waiting for you. Thank you.